week was duty. Second week, we taught on, last week was courage. And I really enjoyed this time with you guys. And so it's been really a blessing to me. We're actually considering a little bit extending it another week. We're just kicking it around a little bit, just kind of see where we are today, since we have a lot to teach. And I think it's been helpful. It's been a joy for me to teach it, and I feel like it's been a helpful time because I've been able to focus on the guys specifically. I don't know if it's been as big a blessing to you as it's been to me to teach it. So we have some in the back in case people come in late. All right. So Mark's got them. You're fine. All right. Good. So I want to just today we can. We got a handout, and we got the first verse we'll start out written there. But first, I want to review just a little bit. Last week, we talked about courage. And let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get back into last week's lesson just for a minute. Father, thank you for the chance to be with these men. Thank you for the good men we have at Open Door. And Lord, we have a culture that is not conducive to godliness, Father. But thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Lord, I pray today we'd learn what we need to learn to do what we ought to do, to be the men we ought to be, Lord. And I pray that we truly get what we need to be pure Christians and pure men in an impure society. Please help us. Give us your wisdom through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we talked about courage and being strong and very courageous. That was last week's lesson. And we kind of went into, we pretty much today don't need pure courage in the sense where we are trembling because we need, if they catch us, they're going to feed us to the lions. They're not going to kill us for being a Christian. Our general fear is we live in a very safe society. I mean, even not just the times we live in, but the country we live in. You could live in many countries in the world, and you're not guaranteed somebody's not going to come and tear through your village or your city or whatever. There's going to be a civil war. It's or the government's going to come in and get you. The world's very unstable in general. I mean, we in America are very stable. We freak out in an uprising like May Day that recently happened, or the WTO, where they're breaking windows, and that's bad and it's not good. However, we're not worried about the hordes coming through and sacking our houses and raping and pillaging in general. We're not worried about that, except for a few people in their basement with tinfoil hats. But in general, we're not too worried about that stuff. And we're blessed in that. I'm glad about that. And I thank God for that, and I'm glad I live in a secure place. So when we say we need to be courageous, it's generally not saying, well, we need to take a stand for Jesus even though they might kill us. They can't do that in America. It's against the law. And actually, the truth is, I don't think the law is going to change tomorrow. The last couple times the Supreme Court ruled on religious freedoms, they ruled one time unanimously, one time 8-1 in favor of Christians' rights. And that was in last year and then a decade ago. I mean, we're pretty safe in general. And I'm glad. Praise God. But so the devil can't attack us with, you're going to be thrown to the lions. Now, I'm not saying that can't change. Nations change. I understand that. But he can make us afraid to do the right thing and to be not courageous. Mostly, the word that I would say that we have to worry about is insecurity and things like that. And we asked last week different things about things we're afraid of. And I don't use that word because afraid is too strong for what I'm saying here, but it is. I said, you know, paperwork might make somebody afraid, and somebody else might not do what they should do because they're afraid of failure. And somebody talked about being afraid of this and that. And we said commitment. Some people will not get into the relationships that God wants them to be in or not be the right kind of spouse because they're afraid of commitment. And that is fear, and you need to be courageous. You need to conquer that thing. We need to be courageous and be able to conquer these things. I find today that many pastors are living in fear, and it's not trembling in fear because somebody's going to beat them up or kill them, but they're afraid to take a stand because they'll lose people in the church. And that's fear. And the Bible says that fear of man brings a snare. I found myself, as I said last week, I'm not a fearful person and I'm pretty laid back and pretty relaxed and pretty not worried about most anything. I found at certain periods of my ministry, and not in recent days, but years in the past, where we just had people in the church who didn't want to grow and change and learn and be helped. I found myself, I'll use the word afraid, to rebuke people and give them counsel, because they didn't want it. And you know what? If you give enough people advice and they just snap at you and get mad at you, you get a good word's gun shy. And yet it's still your job. Sometimes a boss needs to do that at work. He needs to go tell the employees, knock it off, this is wrong. But because of fear, they don't do it, even though they should be doing that. And so fear gets us in a lot of different ways. And so I want to make sure that we do that. A couple things. Being courage enough to try and fail. Okay? When we start being guided by fear and we're discouraged instead of encouraged, we are afraid to fail. Okay? When you're afraid to fail, you don't do much in life. And by the way, the reason we sometimes get afraid to fail is because we're around discouraging people. I want to tell you something in life. If you're an encouraged person and you believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and you get around discouraging people, or your parents discourage you, or you get wounded in your heart, you get afraid to do anything and try anything that you might fail at because you're insecure, because you're afraid, and the fear guides you, and you don't want to have that. But what happens is when you get encouraged and you say, you know what, I'm ready to tackle the world. I've got life. I've got things to do. And you're encouraged. By the way, that's the way a boy grows up naturally. Watch a bunch of boys who are normal, and they'll sit there and look at a ditch and say, I think I can jump over that. I don't know if I can. Maybe I can. The first one tries, falls in the creek, and the second one says, let me try that. I think I can do it. And that's just the way we are. You can throw the ball that far? Let me try. Why? Because they're encouraged. And even if they might don't throw it as far, they think they can try and do it. That's just manhood. It's natural in us. When it gets wounded, you're afraid now. And one of the things is when discouraged people are out there, you say, I'm going to try this and this and this and this and this. And you're not afraid that, you know what, I might not be able to do all that, but I'll try it. And I'm going to give it a shot because I got some big things. I think that's going to be exciting. I think I can do it. And what happens is discouraged people say, you can't do that. You're going to fall on your face. You're going to do terrible. You can't. And you go, maybe I shouldn't. I want to say this. In life, if you're ambitious, which is not fearful, you're going to say, I'm going to try these things. And you try 10 great things in your life, and you accomplish 7 of them. You know what happens? The person who's discouraged, you know what they're going to do? You failed on this. I told you it wouldn't work. It's terrible. You know what they're going to do? Because they're discouraged. You know what their accomplishment is? I told you so. And that was their accomplishment in life. And they feel like they accomplished something because they told you so. Meanwhile, you accomplished 7 great things. And maybe didn't do the 3 great things. But you know what? The person who sat there and said, I told you so, they didn't accomplish anything. And you know what? Do not be afraid to fail. Try a lot of things. And you know what? Sometimes you don't accomplish it. That's okay. It's better to try to save the world and save 3/4 of the world and fail at 1/4 of the world, we'll say fail, than be the person who does nothing. Somebody once said, if you shoot for nothing, you'll hit it every time. And so don't be afraid. Be courageous. Go out there and try. Go out there and get big plans. Dream dreams. When the Spirit falls upon you, your young men see visions, your old men dream dreams. And so go out there and seek things and seek things for God. And the Bible says they that know their God shall do exploits. Great missionaries never came from I can't. Okay? And so do that. That's what I want to say about being courageous. And all those different things. That anybody have a question about courage? You're afraid to ask? All right. Okay, good. We got our new lesson on purity. And boy, this is a tough one in the world we live in. Psalms 119, verse 9. Wherewithal, or that means how, shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How does a man stay pure in an impure world? So fellas, I got to teach this to the men because women do not understand. That's just a fact. Doesn't mean they're not smarter than us. They are in many cases. They do not understand the impure thoughts and impure looks that men have problems with. I don't understand the verbal problems and the emotional problems that they have problems with. Okay, that's fine. We're wired different. I don't mind that at all. My wife doesn't need to tell me every day she loves me and tell me I'm handsome. I know those things, and I don't need to worry about it anymore. I don't need to hear it all the time, but she does. I don't understand that. I accept it, and so I help her with it. Okay? Women, you say, you talk about looking with lust, and they just think you're a weird pervert, or what's wrong with you, or why looking at something does that? They don't understand. I don't expect to understand. They're not wired like us. We're visual. They're verbal. It's fine. No, not a problem at all. God made us different. So, but we know what we have and what our eyes do to us and how powerful they are. And that's just a big problem we have in our society because we live in a very immodest society. Okay? God commands modesty all over the Bible. Our society does not. And by the way, churches aren't even modest anymore. That's a scary thing. They think that modesty is an Old Testament doctrine like, you know, sacrifice and lambs. Don't understand it's not. But modesty is big. And by the way, we'll have somebody wandering our church dressing modestly. And, you know, I understand that. They don't know how to act or dress. And by the way, women don't usually know they're dressing modestly a lot of times. There are certain women who try to, but a lot of them don't understand. And they just don't know. And that's why they're in the ladies' class, by the way. They can be instructed in those things and be helped in those things, and we try to help in those things. But women, and by the way, if you're the man in the home, that's your job. Amen. Okay? I have 5 daughters and a wife. And many of the time, as I said, you're not wearing that to church, or you're not wearing that out. What's wrong with this? Just trust me. I don't see what's wrong with it. You're not a man. and I do that. And it's never rebellious. They just don't know. But that's my job to help them in that area because I understand it. Just like there are certain areas I tell my wife, and I say, honey, can you tell me? Remember the Fisher saying, I don't know what matches. My wife picks out my clothes. That's fine. Women understand that stuff, and men understand different things. They do not understand that. First point, how do you stay pure in an impure world? First of all, you take heed. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Heed is the Hebrew word shamar, which means to hedge about as with thorns. Guard, generally to protect. It means to hedge about with thorns. So when it says take heed, it means you build a fence with thorns. That's what that means. If you want to stay pure in the society, you need fences that are very sticky and very real and very powerful. I call those convictions and standards. Okay? I want to just tell you, you can either take my wisdom on this or you can go ahead and try it and completely be wrong and ruin your life. Okay? If you do not set up rules ahead of time on purity, you will be impure. If you're confident you can stay pure without making plans about it, you will be impure. Period. You say, I don't think so. I think I can be the exception. You're not. And by the way, how are you doing at that? Okay? I believe in standards and convictions. Convictions are what the Bible says. Thou shalt not. But I also set up standards. And standards, the Bible not say thou shalt not, but my wisdom says thou shalt. Okay? I illustrate it this way. The cliff is sin. If I fall off the cliff, I sin. And so some people say, okay, if I fall off the cliff, I die. But you know what? If I stand on the very, very edge of the cliff, I'm not dead. I can even stand on 1 foot on the edge of the cliff and not be dead. I can stand on the edge of the cliff and lean over and not be dead. Okay. You probably can. But I prefer maybe not to ride a skateboard to the edge of the cliff and see if I can jump off in time. Okay? I don't want to do that. Because if I make one mistake, I'm dead. Okay? So with purity issues, I have the conviction, if a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery. The Bible says that. That's sin. So, you ready? You can think all kinds of bad things about me. You ready? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't trust my eyes a whole bunch. Amen. So I set my standard way over here. So if I slip up, oh no, I still haven't sinned. You know what? You know where my computer with the internet is? By the way, I had dial-up internet until a year and a half ago. Pretty hard to look at bad stuff with dial-up. And by the way, it kept me off the internet from wasting time. The internet will blow your time. Oh, look at that video. Oh, look at that video. Oh, this is cool. And pretty soon you blow in 2.5 hours and you waste your life. Okay? You get on the internet to check your email, to research something quickly and get off the stupid thing. And go spend some time in your Bible and prayer. Okay? If you need to do those things even. So now, somebody gave me high-speed internet. They felt sorry for me. Everybody feels sorry for me. You don't have a TV. You don't have high-speed internet. Everybody feels so sorry for me. And I have not been bored in 20 years. I want you to understand that. I have not been bored in 20 years. That is I'm not exaggerating there. I mean, I'm never bored. Ever. I have, if you doubled my time, I wouldn't be bored. Life is full, rich, a million things to do. So, guess where my computer with high-speed internet is? Middle of the room where everybody who walks in the room can see everything I'm looking at. And guess what? We have a password with a filter on it. And by the way, a filter is a pain. It blocks things I didn't want it to block. I don't understand how to set the stupid thing. But you know what? I don't have to see everything. And even if it blocked it, you know what? Anyway, and I walk away and go do something else. Okay? That password, that blocker, I have half of the password and my wife has half the password. I don't know her half. She doesn't know my half. Oh, Pastor, you're way over here. Yep. And guess how much pornography gets watched in my house? Hey, honey, can I get the password so I can look at some pornography? Yeah, the rolling pin's flying at that point. And folks, we stay way over here. Okay? Why does your family dress so modest? I just told you. There's lots of reasons. But you know what? We just stay a mile away. I don't want my wife or my kids to cause anybody to stumble. Pretty easy. Oh, but the Bible never says you can do this. I know. You can jump on the edge of the cliff on a pogo stick if you want. Fine, go ahead. But you know what? I prefer to stay away from it. I mean, I just do. I don't want to do that. You take heed. What is your plan? Heed means to hedge about as with thorns. That's actually a definition. That's not something I added in there. To guard, generally to protect. Have a plan. Be careful. Don't put yourself in a place of temptation. Ask God to keep you from temptation and don't trust yourself. Romans 13, 14. Romans 13 and verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't trust yourself. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Let him that thinketh that he standeth take heed lest he fall. If you think you can stand. Let me illustrate this with another area. But I want when I say something to you here, and I'm going to be a little hard during this lesson because I'm sick of Christians living impurely while they think that those who live purely are crazy. Okay? You sit here and criticize, I'm not saying you, but a lot of Christians criticize those who live purely because of how carefully they live, and they don't think you need to live that way, but they live impurely. Okay? In dating, okay, the Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery. You're not supposed to fornicate. Okay? Just want to ask you, what is your taking heed in your dating? If you're going to date. Well, I don't know. We're just going to hang around and be together and, you know, date. Either you've not experienced a lot in life, or you've never dated, or you don't know very many people who have. Because anybody without a plan generally ends up going pretty far in our culture. Are you all afraid to acknowledge this, or you're looking at me like, what's he talking about, or are you really naive? Am I right on that? You're right. Thank you. So, we're all afraid. He's going to think I'm bad. Listen, folks, I know a society we live in, and so do you. We all know what I'm talking about. And if you're not attracted to a woman, and couldn't slip up and do things that unmarried people shouldn't do, then you got issues. Okay? And we're an over-sexualized society. Kids at 12 years old now, they're not innocent. The things they know, the things they've seen on TV that the parents let them watch, and the things that are on the video games. Okay? We're over-sexualized. Everything's pointed towards sexuality. So our minds are warped toward that, where in 1900, they might not have been, 1950, it wasn't so warped that way. But going back over here, when you're dating, what's your plan? I don't know. Okay, can I tell you what the result of your plan will be then? Okay, I know it's, and by the way, especially those of you who've seen pornography and all the things we see in our society, and especially for those of you who've been sexually active, whether it's before you're saved, you've been married before, whatever, you're in trouble. Okay? What is your plan? What do you mean a plan? Okay, you should never be alone. Oh, but I'm 25. Okay. You're 25. That's the problem. I mean, you should never be alone. You can sit on the other side of the room and talk quietly. You can sit in a room alone and leave the door wide open and mom and dad are in the room next door. You ain't going to do nothing too bad. Okay? But I think that you need to have a, okay, well, we're not going to be, okay, we'll be alone, but I'm not going to be unreasonable. Okay, what is your plan? How have you taken heed? You don't stay pure on accident. You got to have a plan. What's your plan for the internet in your house? How are you taking heed? That's the biggest thing right there, is you need to take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. Bible says, him that thinketh that he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And I want to just say this flat out, it is inappropriate for a single person to have a non-protected computer with the internet in their house. You need a password that you don't know in your house. It's inappropriate. It is no longer the day where a guy has to go get a trench coat and go to the dark city at the end of town. Okay? We're not in that society anymore. It's on your computer and television. By the way, a single person, I don't think anybody should really have cable TV. But if you do, you shouldn't have HBO and Showtime and all that junk. And you should, if you're going to have, you should never have that as a single, especially. No, Pastor, this is ridiculous. You know what year it is? I do. Okay, but if you messed up in 1950 watching TV, what'd you watch? You know, what, Leave It to Beaver is going to tempt you? It's different now. And by the way, if you get around God for a minute and say, woe is me, for I'm unclean, wow, God is holy, you won't sit here and have this society, you won't accept what the society has told you about purity and impurity. And okay, I know we should probably say pure, but you know, everybody, you haven't been around God yet. Because when you get around God, you're going to understand purity. And you're going to say, holy, 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 whoa, I'm unclean. And that was Isaiah and Jeremiah, who weren't living in your society. Understand, fellas, I'm in the will of God. I was going this morning. I'm going this morning to go and pick up kids in the bus route. I am driving down. I'm not purposely seeking anything bad. I'm doing a good thing. And I'm driving down Pacific Highway, and my first stop is 272nd Pacific. Do you know how many bad things I drove by? Okay, they have these coffee shops that aren't just coffee shops. There's a new big giant billboard up there. Okay, there's a bunch of bad stuff, and I'm not trying to look for bad. And so you gotta have a plan. If you drive by a bad thing, you're gonna see a bad thing that's gonna have you temptation, whatever it is, and we're talking about sexual things today, but whatever it is, maybe you need to take a different route. An extra 5 minutes to stay pure is worth it. What's your plan? Is your plan, well, I'm just going to be strong enough? How's that been working for you? Okay, it's pretty tough to be strong when beautifully supermodels are half naked everywhere you go. What's your plan for the Super? You know what? I really like Fred Meyer's family-friendly line. I like that. Because I don't know why, when I have to go through a check stand, I have to, all the magazines there. And they're not always dressed nice. And the Bible says, a look upon a woman at lust, you've committed adultery. That's the sin right there. You've already sinned. And so we got to stay pure. What is your plan for purity? Okay? If you don't have a plan, you're not taking heed. And the Bible says, how is a young man to cleanse his way? By taking heed, making a plan according to his word. Number one, we take heed to do it. Number two, by cleansing and guidance of the word of God. Psalms 119:9. How worth all shall a young man cleanse his ways by taking heed thereto according to his word. The word of God does a couple things for us. It first of all cleanses us. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:26 that he may cleanse them by the washing of the water of the word. Okay? We do it by the word of God. And I want to say this. 1900 or 1510 or 50 AD, it didn't matter. Generally, in most cases, in most countries, women are pretty modestly dressed. Okay? Long clothing, loose-fitting clothing, in general. Okay? Nowadays, they're not. You need more Bible than anybody's ever needed. Because you're cleansed by the word of God. In other words, if the New Testament Christian needed to read the Bible a pretty good amount, you need to read it immensely, and I need to read it immensely because we got to stay pure, and the Bible's going to wash us. I want to say this, and I want to encourage you in this. You say, man, I already got so much junk on my mind. I've already got seen so much, done so much, all this stuff. I want to say this. If you will baptize yourself in the scriptures and begin to get out of the impure stuff and begin to spend a lot of time in pure things, you'll be surprised how purified your mind will get. You need a washing of the water of the word. Okay, it takes a lot of scripture. You need to memorize a lot of scripture. The Bible says, and I think it's in here probably, yeah, it's hide in your heart. Psalms 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We have to talk bluntly today, fellas, because of the society we live in. Okay? And you've got to memorize a ton of scripture. A ton. You gotta. If I don't think it's even enough. I would be thrilled if you memorize our memory verse every week, but that's not going to be enough for what you're living in. Jesus had to quote scripture. Jesus had to quote scripture. And he'd never sinned. And so do that. Live in the Bible. It will transform you. Give it, and it'll give you the how-tos of purity. You'll learn. You'll be reading the Bible one day, and you'll be saying, Lord, how can I? I'm just struggling with this. And all of a sudden, you'll be reading the Bible, and you'll find the answer in the scripture by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Number three, and this is the biggest one we're going to spend time on because it's the biggest trouble one. Control your eyes. You want to stay pure. It's control your eyes. Let's read Matthew 5:28. I want to explain it to you just briefly. It says, but I say unto thee, and by the way, every man should have this verse memorized, but I say unto thee, that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. A couple things that are a little hard to explain. Unless you're older. When you're pure, you look at a woman and say she's pretty. Okay? When you're not pure, your body immediately travels a certain part of her body. Okay? And you might say, well, I automatically do that. That's because you're not pure. Okay? And I want to say, I'm not criticizing you. I'm saying that's the society. I grew up in the world. Okay? Because you're not pure. But a man used to be attracted to his wife because of her spirit and because she was pretty. And now a man, when they think of a woman, immediately starts sexually. And that's abnormal. You say, well, how do you not do that? Just take for a fact that you've been programmed by the world to think that way. Television did it to us. Everything else did it to us. And your flesh did it to you. Where you can look at a woman and say, boy, she's pretty, and not think a sexual thought is normal. But the Bible says if you look on her to commit adultery. So you might look, and here's this billboard, or here's this thing. I want to say this, a lot of money is spent for those people to figure out what will draw your eyes, the colors and everything. They just know. You ever notice your eyes just automatically see it? Out of everything you can see, there's the mountains, there's the trees, there's the cars, there's the this, and all of a sudden your eyes go boom. That's because they're very good at, they spend a lot of money on that stuff, figuring that out and everything. It's not a sin to see something. But it says, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her. When you're looking to look sexually, when you see it and you look away, it's not sin. When you see it and go, that's sin. Okay? When you look to lust, it becomes sin. You can see it and look away, and you haven't sinned yet. But you look to lust. And so it starts off, I want to say, it's with controlling your eyes. There is a way to train your eyes where they do not look at the wrong things. But when they're not trained, as soon as you start realizing about yourself, as soon as you start knowing this, you'll immediately find what your eyes do. And you'll be very ashamed for a little while. Okay? Because you were trained. That video game cover, it is proportioned in a way to draw your eyes to certain things. It just is. Those things do that. And they work very hard on that. And studies have been done. And by the way, almost every movie shows some woman some way, even G movies. They'll find some way to show some woman with something hanging out to catch your eyes. Because they found out, basically, that you enjoy the movie more when you're stimulated sexually. So it's in everything. It's very hard to find any. And by the way, we watch all this stuff as a family. Do you know how hard it is for me to find movies to watch? Most of the stuff that most people would watch, I'm talking Christians, we won't watch. We don't watch things with cuss words. We don't watch things where they backtalk the parents. We don't watch things that tear down the dad. And you say, what do you do with your time? We have a wonderful time. You know what I've noticed? My kids are not obese. I have a half acre. I have ministry. My kids love to go with me on ministry work. We read together. We don't worry about us. We'll live. Okay? There's a lot of stuff where there's so much bad. I mean, yes, we can watch Snow White. It's not too bad. There's things we can watch. There's a few Pixar movies we can watch. Some of them we can't watch. Because they're not dressed right. Because they're sassy and nasty. Nickelodeon would never be on in our house. That's a nasty station. Okay? So we're very careful in this purity stuff. And I know I sound like I'm a time machine brought me forward. But folks, I'm telling you, you got to. You got to. Control your eyes. Take heed to your eyes. Proverbs 4:25. Let me give you this verse, a great verse. It'll help you tremendously. And by the way, men, you can do this. This is a great thing because we're pretty good at this right here once you decide to do it. Proverbs chapter 4. And I'm running out of time. Good night. Verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. This is great, folks. Men, this is what you do. You know how you go shopping? We talked about it last week. Do your eyes like that. What do you need to look at? Okay? Train your eyes to look at a woman's face when you talk to her. Let your eyes look what they're supposed to. When you're walking to the store, don't do this. When you're driving on the highway, don't. If there's a woman walking down the street, don't look at her. You don't need to. Put your eyes on what they're supposed to look at. Set your eyes straight before you. Focus your eyes. Laser beam. I need to look at this. This is where I'm going. Don't let your eyes wander in our society. Just don't. And you focus your eyes. How do you take heed to your eyes? And you do these things. Now, I want you to look up some verses. We got 6 verses here. 5 or 6 verses. And I want somebody to look up these verses. We're going to have you read it. And then I want you to tell me what these verses tell us about the effect of our eyes. And I need somebody with the King James to do each one of these verses so we can do them quickly. Who can read a verse for me? Okay, Matthew, why don't you do Job? Aaron? And we'll have you stand up and just read it loudly. Lamentations. Mark, can you do 2 Peter? Let's see. Jesse, do Joshua. Tony, can you do 1 John 2:16? And we'll just start with that. Are you there, Matthew?
Yeah.
Okay, set up and read that loud. And listen along, and I want you to be able to tell us what effect, and you have to listen carefully because the Bible's going to tell you that the eyes have a certain effect here. So listen carefully so you can answer the question.
I have made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid?
Okay, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? What effect does that? What does the eyes have upon you? What you think. Did you catch the wording there? I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think on a maid? It jumped from your eyes to your thoughts. Do I need to tell you why? Because what you think about sexually, you've seen. Okay? So what would you say there? Your eyes affect what you think about? Yes. Something like that? All right, next verse. Who has the next verse? That's all right.
Mine eye affected mine heart because of all the daughters of my city.
Okay. Mine eye affecteth mine heart. What's that say?
Eyes affect your heart.
Your eyes affect your heart. Did you know if you look at the wrong things, your heart will begin to change? You used to have a tender heart towards the Lord, and now your heart's getting harder. Things like that. Do you understand? There's a physiological effect from your eyes physically, and there's also a spiritual effect. Your eyes to your heart. You want to ruin your life and get a hard heart, just start looking at the wrong things. Next, who has next verse?
Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children.
Okay. Anybody hear that? And somebody new? Answer? How did that affect us? Having eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from their sin. Anybody? Did we not catch it, or we're afraid to answer? Having eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from their sin. Yes, Mark? Yeah, go ahead. Okay. They are, and it says the effect that they can't not sin because their eyes are full of adultery. It says their eyes are full of adultery, and they cannot cease from their sin. Basically says when you have wrong eyes, you're wrong. I'm going to read you a verse. It'll say that in a second here. Okay, next. 2 Peter 2:14. Who had that? Okay, I'm sorry. Joshua 7.
When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the heart in the midst of my tent and the silver under it.
Okay, it's a long verse. It's talking about Achan there. Anybody catch the process there? Yep. Mark?
He saw it, then he lusted, then he took.
Yeah, the process there. I saw, I coveted, I took. It says all three of those words in the verse. You see something, then you want it, and then once you covet something, you're going to go after it and get it, and you took it. So what your eyes see, you got to have. By the way, you don't understand that. You understand that's why they want you to come in and look at go window shopping. You see it, and you got to have it. You don't see it, you don't got to have it. Okay, you see, you covet and took, so you start looking at things you shouldn't, you're in that trouble. Okay, 1 John 2:16.
For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Okay, so just that verse basically tells us that the lust of the eyes is not of the Father. God's plan, and I want to say this, that includes everything. Do not make decisions by covetous. Well, I looked at that car and I got to have it. That's not a godly decision. The lust of the eyes doesn't decide anything. That's of the world. The world decides everything by the lust of the eyes. God says by wisdom and by scripture and by prayer and by patience and all those things. Matthew 6, 22 and 23, I'll turn to that one. And it says this, for the light of the body is the eye. And tell me what you learned from this. If therefore thine eye be single, that means clear and focused, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? What does that tell you? That's a powerful two verses right there. What did they just tell you? It just tells you if your eye is clear, you're full of light. If your eye is dark, you're full of darkness, and there's no exception. Okay? What's wrong with my life? Why can't I stay pure? Your eyes. Your eyes. And so we have got this, and I have empathy and sympathy on you and on me because it's brutal out there to keep your eyes. It's brutal. If you're trying, it's brutal. But if you do not do it and take heed to your eyes, you will be full of darkness. That's a fact. There's no way around that. And if your eyes are clear, you're full of light. You've got to control your eyes. And we're talking about lust mostly here, but that's also true about coveting. It's also true about a lot of things in that. Look at, and since we're here, I'm going to read Matthew 5:28 and 29. So somebody who has problem with purity and says to me, well, that's ridiculous. I got to have the internet. I gotta have this. I got to work here. And by the way, if I worked at a job where I had a problem with lust, I'd find another job. I would find another job. There is no job worth my purity and worth filling myself with darkness. Okay? I understand. Most anywhere you can see something bad. I'm talking a place where a lot of bad, immodest, but dressed women come, or there's things in pictures. I just wouldn't work there. Okay? I'd find somewhere else. I understand anywhere you'll see occasion. I understand that. I'm not saying you quit your job because there's a woman there who's attractive. I'm not saying that. You have to control your eyes anywhere you go. I'm saying if you're in a position, you know, where you're going to be around things you're going to struggle with all the time, and it's going to be constant and it's full of it, you just get out of there. Why? Matthew 5 says this. We read this verse 28, and here's the context of this verse. A lot of people don't understand the context. But I say unto thee that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Next verse. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Get your context there. That verse means a lot more. Bible says if your right eye is going to offend you, pluck it out. For it's better to have one eye and go into heaven than two eyes in hell. Okay? That's what it says. If your right arm offends you, cut it off. The verse before says you look up on a woman to lust, you commit adultery. Now, with that verse in mind, please don't tell me you have to have the internet. Amen. Go to the library and check your email if you have to. And by the way, President Obama is not seeking your advice in 5 minutes because the Russians are about to attack us. It's not that urgent like you think it is. Okay? If Jesus said, pluck your eye out if it's going to cause you to look with lust, then maybe you don't need Sports Illustrated. Or maybe you don't need the internet in your house. Or maybe you do need me or Brian or Tony or somebody to come by and set up a password for you. Or maybe you need to change some things. Maybe you need to throw away some things in your house. Maybe you need to get rid of those magazines. Amen. Well, I got to have this thing. It's educational. Not if it's making your whole body dark. People, you know, there didn't used to be an internet. And I'm picking the internet because it's a big problem. It's ruining marriages, it's ruining ministries, it's ruining, because everyone's, I'm fine and I gotta have it. You can get pornography on your stinking phone. Okay? We've got to be careful. And if you can't, and you can't handle it, then you need to set it, take heed to yourself. You just gotta do it. And you got to be careful on those things. Control your eyes. Next, if you want to be pure, you say you can handle it. Okay, fine. I'm sure you can. You're wired different than the rest of us, and you're amazing. And I'm sure you can. And let me check your history, by the way, on your internet before you start deleting things. Next, control your thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, it says, bringing every thought into captivity. This also starts with the eyes. You imagine what you think about, or you imagine what you look at. It went to your eyes, and then you thought about it. Control your thoughts, bringing every thought into captivity. You'll find that, you say, Pastor, I cannot control my thoughts. I start thinking about immoral things. If you control your eyes, your body will be full of light. It's because your eyes are wrong. Just start with your eyes. You'll control your thoughts later. By the way, you'll learn to discipline your thoughts. If you focus on your thoughts, say, I'm not, by the way, think on good things. How do you overcome evil? You overcome evil with good. How do I think of pure things? I don't have time to go into all of it. You very simply to quit thinking of bad things. You fill your life with good things, and you begin to immediately think of good things. You immediately start to pray. You immediately think of someone who has need. Immediately think of your mom and how much you appreciate her. Think of your church, your pastor, or souls, or something, but put your mind on something good and noble and important. You don't think on bad things by not saying, I'm not going to think. It doesn't work. You have to fill it with good. Think on good things. Next, remain as innocent as you can. Romans 16:19 says, I would you be simple concerning evil and wise concerning righteousness. Say innocent. Well, I'm not innocent, Pastor. Go back to innocency. Get away from the junk and fill your mind with good stuff. You'll find yourself getting more and more innocent. And things will get more and more foggy and distant that were in your mind. And it'll be way far out in the back. It'll be there in your back of your mind if you ever want to retrieve it. But you know what? It'll be way back in the back of your mind once you start thinking on good things and cleansing yourself with the word and filling your life with good things. Remain as innocent as you can. Deuteronomy 12:30 says, don't try to say, how do they worship those false gods? Okay? I want to say this. When we're at a certain point in our life, we know everything in society and we're hip and we're cool, you need to get out of that mindset. You don't need to know who the hottest pop singer is. You don't need to know a whole bunch of things. Be simple concerning evil. You don't need to know what's trendy. You don't need to know what the newest movie is. Okay? You don't need to know who all that stuff. Be simple concerning evil things. You don't need to know a lot of things. And by the way, can I just say for a sec, you're not going to be healthy if you just sit here and watch a bunch of evil things and how they happen. You're going to sit here and watch evil minds and serial murders and how they think. Do you think that's going to be good for you? You don't need to think about that stuff. Be innocent. You don't need to understand how somebody got away with a murder and how they went and killed somebody and how many times they stabbed him. That is not healthy. Well, I don't think anything of it when I watch it. That's because you're desensitized. You don't need to know that stuff. You don't need to know what the bad, stupid people are doing in life. You don't need to know every immoral act that's going on. You don't need to know the newest, trendiest, immoral thing. Be simple concerning evil, the Bible says. Next, and last of all, and boy, I went fast. I didn't think I'd get all this done. I might touch on it a little bit next week. If you have a lust problem, get married. If you have a lust, God's solution to lust is your wife. And I want to say this. Married couples are supposed to be very, very intimate often. When they're not intimate in the Bible, it's called a fast from it. That implies that you're very sexually active. And by the way, you need to be in this society with your wife if you're married. The Bible says, verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 7, nevertheless, avoid fornication, that every man have his own wife and that every woman have her own husband. Verse 9, if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. I'm not going to tell you how to find a wife today because of time, but I want to say this. Marriage is God's solution to lust. Paul said, I'd rather every man remain as I am. I have a gift. I don't have to get married. Now, I want to say just briefly about that. There would be in a society a percentage of people, and you knew older people probably growing up who never got married, and they're okay. There would be, I don't know what the percentage is, say it's 10% of men who really would never have a lust problem in their life if they never got married. Okay? Paul was that, and he says it's a gift. Some people have that, and they can focus only on Jesus. I want to say that. We have a way lower percentage of that because we have been so sexualized. In other words, that's a lot easier if you're innocent and never seen a naked woman. But when you've seen a lot, it's very rare now where a man eventually probably shouldn't get married. Now, I'm not saying every man's supposed to. Some people aren't supposed to. Some people can be better Christians because they're not. And in heaven, they'll be blissful and wonderfully blessed more than the rest of us. But if that, and in the counseling I've done, when a couple's, because it's one of the four biggest problems in marriage is the bedroom. And the Bible says the bed's undefiled and it's a good godly thing. It's one of the four biggest problems. And in the fixing of a marriage problem, we have to talk about intimacy because it's very important in marriage, especially to a man. And the time periods where they are not being intimate, I say, buddy, you're wired different than me, or you guys have issues, and you're going to have a lust problem. And I'm not trying to be crude here, but the women aren't affectionate because the men aren't the men they ought to be, I think. In most cases, and the man's not going to be healthy in this society with that being the case. And if a woman is cold, not affectionate, she's not the woman for you to be married. I think it's ungodly. All right, we got to finish up, and we're kind of getting edgy here, so we're going to stop. Next week's word is leadership. But I think, folks, I had to be that way because it's where we are in our society. We got to be clear. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll be dismissed for church. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. I pray today we'd be careful and take heed to be pure. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.